Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Beru.
Who plays with who? Who are the odd men out? Are there any surprises? It's all on this episode of Flames Unfiltered. Good evening. Welcome to episode, number 100. 100 episodes of Flames Unfiltered. I'm the host of the show, Brad Brood. Good to have you with us tonight live on Facebook. And yeah, I got to add me to the stream so you can at least see me. Yeah, we're doing this live thing this year. This is episode 2 of this season. It's season 3 of Flames Unfiltered. And yeah, going good except for my screw up here tonight with not adding me to the screen. So maybe you didn't want to see me. To be honest with you, I'm surprised I'm here tonight. I've been under the weather all week. I just started feeling crummy last Saturday and I just been laying low and, finally now starting to feel a little bit better. And that's good because, things are heating up in, Calgary and, we're getting ready for the start of the regular season, which is going to seem, it's going to seem like an eternity because it seemed like forever to get preseason going. And then it seemed like forever during the preseason. And now we play our final game tomorrow night at home at the Saddledome against Winnipeg. And then we got to wait 8 days before we get the opener next Saturday night. And that is going to feel, it's going to feel like forever waiting all those days, wondering what the lineup's going to be, all of us chatting back and forth. Trying to figure out who's going to play with who and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's going to be quite interesting and, it's going to seem like it's going to take forever, man. It's going to suck. Oh boy. 100 episodes. Yeah. It's crazy to think that we got to 100 this quick. Crazy idea to get this podcast going and, it's been a lot of fun and it continues to grow and hopefully, we can take it to another level this year and on into, season 4 next year. Been on some surprises along the way. We started out just, doing podcasts and then we went to video in season, what was it, 2? We went to video and now season 3 we're video again now, but we're live this year. So, always trying to add new things and, adding fan interaction as much as we can. So it's a lot of fun. It gives me a way to vent my Flames thoughts because I think about it about 80% of my life. So that's a good thing. We start with Edmonton a week from this Saturday in Edmonton. Do you guys like, starting with one of your rivals? Like part of me loves it when I open up the schedule and I see that, but then part of me is like, damn, I only want it if we're going to win, if I know we're going to win. I guess I would have been disappointed if Anaheim would have been our starting point. Seeing Edmonton's always fun, but I almost want to get things going, get the juices going and get into it a little bit. Before we have to take on, one of our big rivals. But, you don't get to pick that. And, if we win on Saturday night, we'll be damn happy that we started that way and got to go, with the Oilers on night one. On this episode tonight, it's a jam-packed episode. We're going to do a quick recap of all last week's million preseason games that the Flames played. And then we'll, break down the depth charts. Lots to look at. And when figuring out line combinations for this team. After that, we're going to discuss the Whiners in Edmonton. Yes, McDavid. He thinks he'd be able to go to the net just untouched. You know, that should just be okay because he's Connor McDavid. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I'll give you my 2 cents on that one. And then on to some Flames news, some division news. We're going to wrap up with a listener question on what would I give up to get Jack Eichel? I think you're going to be really surprised with my response on this one. Thanks for joining us on the 100th episode of Flames Unfiltered. All right, Flames fans, let's start talking about some preseason games. And it seems like there's just unlimited preseason games. This last week, it seemed like every night we played, and which is nice, but I don't know. Daryl Sutter hates it. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I think your camp should be spent a little bit more practicing, trying to work on some different things and not running your guys ragged, but I guess we don't get to pick that schedule yet either, do we? Wednesday night, last week, we did our episode right before the Seattle-Calgary game, which ended up being a 4-3 shootout loss. We're not going to talk a lot about these games. We're just going to kind of whip through them real quick. Geo opened up the scoring, and I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of cheered a little bit. Does that make me a bad Flames fan? I don't think so. He's a big part of this organization, and to see him come back to Calgary, which some people, excuse me, I'm going to be coughing off and on through this episode because I've been a little under the weather, but, I think, you know, seeing him back in Calgary, I was shocked they played him. Kind of disappointed. I wanted that Christmas game to be the one. I think it's the 28th, I believe. Where Seattle comes into Calgary. I got the schedule right in front of me. You'd think I'd be able to look at that. Yeah, 23rd. I wanted that to be his homecoming. And you know, to have him come back was cool and everything. And I think the world of that guy. And, I also am a believer though that maybe this is going to be a good thing having him on that team, and it was time to move on. Core things, and you know, he's slowed down over the years but everything. I think it's going to be okay. But, very interesting having him score, because I started to kind of cheer. And then I thought, well, what the hell am I doing? I mean, that's not fair, you know. But it was a good feeling. It just was. What else happened that game? Tkachuk, Stoll, and Backlund scored. Vladar was in net for the complete game. Pretty evenly matched game. I thought Vladar was okay in that game. Friday, October 1st, Vancouver came to Calgary. 4-1 win. I thought Calgary looked really good this night. Gaudreau, Backlund, Tkachuk, Richie scores. Markstrom plays two period. Wolf played one. Both played very, very good. The following night, Calgary goes to Seattle. Actually, Kent Washington to play Seattle again. A 4-1 win. Fraze, Stone, Godden, Mackey with goals. Vladar played the whole game, stopping 21 of 22. Monday, Calgary went down to Edmonton. Blew a 3-0 lead, which pissed me off. Lost 4-3. Tkachuk, Gaudreau, Lindstrom with goals. Had a waved off. Well, that was in the Winnipeg game. We had a waved off goal. But all in all, a good game in Edmonton. Markstrom was in goal. I thought, you know, if it had been a regular season, I'd have been a lot more upset about giving up the 3-0. I didn't think we played horrible that night. I don't think we were great that night, but I didn't think we were horrible either. It's good to see Tkachuk. You know, every game I just rattled off, all but one, you know, had Tkachuk on the score sheet, and he's leading the preseason in goals, and it's pretty good. That's a good start for him. We need him engaged. We need him moving. We need him going, and hopefully Matthew Tkachuk is the Matthew Tkachuk of old this year. Last night, October 6th, usually the night we do this show, we usually traditionally try to do this show on Wednesday nights at 8 Mountain. I switch it up a little bit if the Flames are playing that night, because I know you're not going to watch me if the Flames are playing, because I wouldn't watch me, that's for damn sure. Calgary and Winnipeg, 3-2 loss. Flames outshot pretty bad, but kind of held on early. First period is freaking horrendous. Held on pretty good, though. Played a Sutter-style game. Goals came from Mangiapane, Godden. Backlund had a goal called off late, with under 2 minutes. I think it was like 20 some seconds. They deemed that Tkachuk had high sticked it out by the blue line earlier, and that nullified the goal. It went to the office in Toronto because it was under 2 minutes in the game, which in a preseason game, I can't believe. I guess they need practice too, and they need game situation too. So, I guess I understand it. Vladar played the whole game. I thought he was really good. One big downside of this game is that Blake Coleman took a boarding penalty. Believe it was in the first period, and had to meet with NHL Players Safety today, and has been suspended one preseason game and one regular season game for boarding Winnipeg's Jansen Harkins. My thoughts on it, and I'm trying not to be a homer, but I'm going to throw in my two cents here. He was on his knees. He was trying to get up when Coleman hit him. Should he hit him? No, he shouldn't hit him. Is this two games? No. This is a one game. If this is Connor McDavid, I guarantee he doesn't get two games. I'm using him as an example because I know I'm right there. I don't know. I can live. I honestly thought it was going to be just the the fine type situation that we get so frequently in the National Hockey League. And I thought that's what it was going to be. And then when I see he gets a game, I was just kind of taken aback a little bit because I don't know. I just didn't see that one coming. I didn't think that it was going to be, you know, a regular season game at that. So a little bit of surprising there. That kind of throws a juggle into the lineup, and I'm going to miss Blake Coleman in that first Edmonton game because I saw something out of Blake Coleman yesterday in Winnipeg that I hadn't seen in the preseason. And quite honestly, I watched quite a few Lightning game last year, but didn't notice him being kind of the disturber that he was last night in Winnipeg, and I loved it. I actually, my hopes for Coleman went up drastically. I was pretty excited when I saw that. And I thought, well, that's gonna play dividends, in our home opener in Winnipeg. And now we're not gonna have that. So I'm a little bit disappointed, but I look for big things from Coleman this year. Even though he's gonna, you know, play a tight role, playing a different role, in Calgary, now making the money, he's got a lot to live up to. And I know how this fan base can be. Are we gonna be able to put up with that? And give them some patience from time to time. All right, Flames fans. Depth chart breakdown. Let's go through it. Start with the goalies. Markstrom and Vladar, a lot of question marks in Calgary about the goaltending and where we'd be with Vladar. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little bit worried about it too. He is more than proven that he's going to be an adequate backup in this league. And I started thinking back to the Mika Kiprusoff days. And when he arrived from San Jose, he was a third string goalie for the San Jose Sharks playing under Daryl Sutter. What was Vladar in Boston? Third string goalie. You've got to take chances on guys like this. If he's mechanically sound, which he is, I mean, someone's got to give him a chance. And and I'm really glad that we're going to see him in Calgary this year. And he's going to play 20 games, I'm guessing. If we can get 10 wins out of him, we have to be happy with that, right? I couldn't be more happy. I mean, in preseason, he's let 10 goals in on 121 shots, .917 save percentage in 5 appearances, so he got plenty of time. We have to be through the moon happy with this. This has got to be one of the biggest surprises of camp. I'm excited, and I think Markstrom's going to have a bounce-back year. I'm excited with what we have in net, and they can win us a lot of hockey games this year. We have a lot to be excited for in that avenue, and I hope I don't have to go back and replay this and be like, damn it, what the hell was I saying? Because I think I really, really do feel comfortable. Now let's talk a little bit more about the forwards. As the goaltenders, is pretty cut and dry. We kind of know where we're going there. Forwards. Here's kind of how I see it shaken down. I see Tkachuk with Lindholm and Coleman. Lindholm centering it. I see Monahan centering Gaudreau and Mangiapane. I see Backlund centering Dubé and Pitlick. With him being injured, I'll fill the blank in there in a minute. I see, unfortunately, Richardson centering Lucic and Lewis with Richie as the sub. Now, I think what it should do is I'm good with the Lindholm, Tkachuk, Coleman. I'm good with Monahan, Gaudreau, Mangiapane. I'm good with Backlund, Dubé, Pitlick. With I would fill in Dewar right now until Pitlick comes back. I would fill him into that spot. And I would have Gaudin centering Lucic and Lewis with Richie as our extra. Gaudin should be on that fourth line instead of Richardson. I'm sure Sutter will want Richardson in there because he's a veteran and he's been a Sutter guy and this and that and all that. But you know what? He did not. The numbers don't lie. He was awful in the preseason. And when are we going to give some of these? I'm not a pro. Let's give all the young guys all these opportunities. I think they earn opportunities and you give it when they've earned it. I think we're there with Gaudin. I honestly believe we're there. And I think it's time to give him that. And I feel like Sutter isn't going to do that. And I think it's time for Gaudin to get that fourth line center role and see where he can run with it. We'll see what happens there. Zari's injured. So we didn't get to see him in camp, which we knew he wouldn't be sticking in Calgary, but it would have been fun to see him as he looked pretty good in the prospect games before his foot injury. Phillips and Ruziska disappointed me. Now, I thought Ruziska was going to be that guy that could maybe step in, and then we get, you know, Dewar that steps in. And that's great because he's a pleasant surprise. Vladar and him, and we'll talk about the defense, what surprises there, but, I mean, he's the biggest surprise on the front end. Gaudin isn't that big of a surprise for me. I expected this to be his year that he did like Dylan Dubé did a few years ago and make a name in the preseason and work his way into the lineup. This is Gaudin's year to do that. And I think he did it. We'll just see if Daryl Sutter and the rest of the coaching staff feels the same way as I do on that one. Defense. Let's talk defense. Pretty cut and dried. But here's where the controversy lies. Sutter talked about four pairs. Players are not going to be judged individually at this point. Right now, he said, is he's going to be judging pairs and positioning and playing in pairs, which leads me to believe that he's going to carry two extra defensemen and one extra forward on this roster. I might be wrong there, but based off his comments there, if he's going to run this in pairs, he's going to have eight defense. And there's more to why I think that'll happen. Because right now his pairs that he's got are Hanifin and Anderson, Zadorov, Tanev, Shillington, Gabranson, Valimaki, Stone. Valimaki to me looks like the odd man out right at the moment. He's never been a fit with Sutter. And quite honestly, I had all the hopes for Valimaki, and I'm not writing him off or anything. I was really pro Valimaki. Actually, I had him slotted in my top four this year. Without question. But I've been disappointed. I didn't think he stepped into place last year when he needed to, and I didn't think in the camp this year that he came and proved that he is a top six D-man and solidified that in Sutter's mind. I don't think he did that. Now, Stone is interesting to me. He's always, to me, been our safety net. He has just been that, you know, seventh D-man that I don't have to worry about. Well, if we don't carry eight defensemen and we put this guy in waivers, I know a lot of people in Calgary are like, who cares? I care. This guy has been our savior. How many times has he been bad defensively? Like, he's safe back there. Yes, he makes his mistakes. He's a bottom six or bottom tier defenseman. And I mean, he's going to make some mistakes, but all in all, he's pretty damn solid back there. And he's got the best shot from the point on the team. He scores. I think we need him as that seventh man. And he's that safety net back there. Now, Zadorov has had his moments. I know he's getting freaking crucified on social media right now in Calgary. We knew what we were getting, guys. Like, seriously. Like, did we think he was going to show up and just be all of a sudden be a great skater and just a force out there, a top four D-man? No. You pair him up with Tanev, though, and I think he's going to be fine this year. He's a bitch to play against. It's exactly what we want back there. He's going to be mean. And anybody we've ever put with Tanev excels, right? Well, if Tanev can do that with Zadorov, then we're fine, right? And I think we're going to see that. I actually like this pairing. I think it's going to be fine. Everybody needs to relax on this one. Hannafin, Anderson, they're set. We're good there. Anderson hopefully has a bounce back year this year. I love what Hannafin brings to the table offensively. I think that's going to be a good pairing. Now, Shillington. Shillington's the guy that's made this whole controversy on the back end. And that's a good thing. I think he's earned a spot. And I think every Calgary Flames fan, he's been the talk of the town for the last week. I think he deserves this spot. I can't see him being sent to Stockton. He's going to have to clear waivers. And I don't think he clears. Teams would be idiotic to not nab him. Buffalo, you think they're not going to take him? Are you kidding me? So many teams would take him. So I highly doubt that he gets exposed. So he's going to earn a spot. And you know what? He damn well deserves it. I don't know if I like him with a good Branson. Honestly, right now, if I was going to put the D out for the first night against the Oilers, I'd put Hannafin, Anderson, Zadorov, Tanev, Shillington, Stone. Those are my guys. They've been the best in camp. I have a hard time anybody arguing that with me. How hard has it been to be better than Gabranson? He's been awful. I do remind people that it's only the preseason and we need to relax a little bit. We also knew what we were getting with Gabranson. Let's see what happens, but I'm with you in Calgary world where everybody wants him gone. I don't know. I can't imagine us letting Shillington go. We need his skating. We need his speed on the back end. We're not a fast defense. And I'm not saying we need to be a run and gun Quinn Hughes type defense. I'm not a big fan of that. But, you know, Hannafin's got some offensive ability. Anderson's more stay at home. Tanev's more stay at home. You know, Zadorov's more stay at home. Valimaki, yet to be determined. And Stone's stay at home. And Gabranson can't go do anything. So we need Shillington to be able to carry some of that load, right? And Craig, and so far in preseason, he's done it. He's arguably been our second best defenseman in camp. Tanev being the best. Hannafin not really getting a chance. Stone might be in our top four, arguably. Connor Mackey hasn't been bad, and I guarantee we're going to see Connor Mackey in some hockey games this year. Deservedly so. But you know what? This is a good problem to have. We could be sitting here tonight talking about how Shillington is disappointed again. He's going to be done in Calgary. Connor Mackey didn't look that great. Gabranson wasn't very good. Zadorov wasn't very good. Anderson looks like he did last year. Wait a minute, guys. We've got a lot of positives to talk about on this back end. It'll be interesting who gets paired with who. Shillington's even getting some, you know, Elliot Friedman was talking about him today or yesterday and said, I'm really, you know, careful about the first week of preseason. The best players aren't dialed in. But if there's one player who piqued my interest, it's Oliver Shillington in Calgary. He had one 25-minute game, and it is clear Calgary was giving him exhibition opportunity, but the Flames have a lot of defensemen, and Shillington is not waiver exempt. Someone will claim him. It'll be interesting to see how that goes and how it all lines up. I, to reiterate, would be Hannafin, Anderson, Zadorov, Tanev, Shillington, Stone would be my six for opening night. See what happens. The Branson's got to improve before he breaks into that. I know he's getting paid better money, but like, don't you have to play the better players? We have to, don't we? It'll be interesting to see what Sutter does there. All right. Now it is time to talk about something that, I can't even believe we're talking about this. Can't even believe that this is a topic. Connor McDavid not happy with Chris Tanev in Calgary. for taking him down on what McDavid's calls a dangerous play. When Connor McDavid on, was it, what night? I don't even know what night it was. Monday night. Collided with Markstrom, which scared me more than McDavid going into the net, obviously. I don't know. Tanev tripped him when he was going in, but what else is he supposed to do? Connor McDavid is known for his speed, and he's known for going wide on defensemen, and quite honestly can skate around 99% of the defensemen in the league like they're standing still. What are the defensemen supposed to do? Let him go? Or try to defend him? Tripping's a penalty. They get called for it. What does he want? He wants special treatment? Is that what he wants? His quote is, obviously they have the right to defend their net and defend me trying to get there. But when a stick comes into my feet there like Tanev's did, it's a dangerous play for me and for the goalie. I don't want to go flying in there. The goalie doesn't want me flying in there. And the guy that's left safe is a defenseman with a sloppy, with that sloppy stick. Well, our job is to not have you score. It might be a little difficult. And it's supposed to be a little bit difficult. And if Connor McDavid thinks that we're defenseman in the league, because he's so fast and dynamic, that we're just going to let him go in and not trip him, it's absurd. Now, there's a history of this. McDavid and Geo went into the net hard. McDavid ended up injured and out the rest of the season, albeit late in the season. I just don't understand where that story came from. It was on TSN. It was on Sports. I just don't know where that story came from. How he can honestly tell us that he doesn't like that play. Well, then don't do that play, Connor. Cut to the middle. Do something. If you're afraid to go around a defenseman because you're going to get tripped, then stop doing it. It's your choice. I don't know. Very interesting situation. Surprised that was even a topic this week, Flames fans.
Hey, hockey fans. Check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Host Brad Brood and Blake Fryers debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news as we're cruising through this show. All right, injuries. Now, Gaudreau did not play in the third, or left, did not play in the third period, didn't come out after the second period in Monday's game versus Edmonton. Sutter said it was nothing. Gaudreau has been skating in practice. I don't think we need to worry there. He seems to be fine. And that's just the way preseason is. Now, Hanifin looks to be recovered and in good shape from his offseason surgery, and Monahan also, but Monahan has seen limited time, comparatively speaking, to the other guys, kind of slow and easy as they work Monahan back into the lineup. Hopefully after this extremely long delay, Monahan will be good to go for the opener in Edmonton. Now, Coleman, there was some worry there because he was a late scratch for, I believe, Monday night's game in Edmonton. Sutter explained that by saying that he's played a ton of hockey in the last 2 years, which he has, winning two Stanley Cups, and he was going to handle it accordingly. He did play Wednesday night, ended up getting suspended, loved his play that night, chip on his shoulder, all new Blake Coleman that I hadn't seen. I liked it. Recent cuts sent to AHL. Pedersen, Peltier, Prosper, Francis, Rizika, Wolf. Put on waivers, Phillips, Gravel, DeSimone, Walensky, all cleared, all have reported to the American Hockey League. Speaking of the American Hockey League and the Stockton Heat, they're back in California, back in Stockton after a year in Calgary due to COVID logistics. They are back home. Training camp opened on the 4th, will run through the 14th. 31 players in camp, and October 15th, the night before the Flames play their home opener or their season opener. The home opener is for the Stockton Heat against the Tucson Roadrunners. Good news for all you Flames fans that listen to the Fan 60 like I do. I've always been a fan of Pat Steinberg and his after-hours show. Or not after-hours, overtime. A call-in show after the post-game show. And it was announced last week that, it wasn't going to be existing anymore, which was a huge disappointment to me. And I think many of you that listen to this podcast spend a lot of time listening to the Fan 960. Some changes happened. He announced last night that the post-game show would be shortened a little bit. They'd be taking calls during the post-game show so they wouldn't wait the full 60 minutes or 90 minutes, whatever it was, after the game before the call-in. They're going to do some call-in shows, kind of work with a little bit. I think they did get a little bit of heat that they weren't going to be doing call-in shows. But either way, I get it. I understand. It's been a tough week at Sportsnet Fan 960 with some guys being let go. And in this media world can be brutal when there's cutbacks and with just everything going on in this world with COVID and everything. And it's been sad that some things have changed and some people have lost their jobs. And we wish everybody the best of luck. And hopefully everything's back in order and we can enjoy that show because that crew at Fan 960 does such a good job with it, and I enjoy listening to them, whether it be the mornings or post games. So that's good. 32 thoughts now. Another podcast I listen to a lot. You got to check out last Friday's episode with Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick as Andrew Mangiapane, Matthew Tkachuk joined the show. Always good listening to some of our players get to talk on the show. So that's one you definitely got to check out. In the division. Not a lot to talk about. We'll have more in this segment once the show really, really ramps up and gets going. Just a couple things. The big news in the Pacific Division this week was that Vancouver did get their two RFAs locked up and get them signed as Quinn Hughes signs a 6-year, $7.85 million deal. And Elias Pettersson, the up-and-coming center, gets a 3-year, $7.35 deals. You look at the comparables there, and I think Vancouver did a good job on this one. I really do. I think they this is a win for them, and which upsets Flames fans, but you know what? Good signings. Be fun to watch them play in the league in our division this year, and always fun to battle up against those two players. On to the listener question, and this is a good one. This is a really, really good one, and I was excited to do this one on the show tonight. The question is, assuming that you would want the Flames to acquire Buffalo Sabres center Jack Eichel, what is the current return that you would offer to make this deal happen? Well, first off, there's been a boatload of Jack Eichel talk this week, with sources saying that medical records have been turned over now, and the teams that were inquiring are getting a little bit more information on where Jack Eichel's at health-wise, and honestly where the Buffalo Sabres are at. And are they keeping, trading? What are they doing with Jack Eichel? And it's interesting. First off, I'm gonna preface my answer, and I will give the answer, but I'm going to preface it with, I'd be very, very hesitant right now to go get him in the current injury situation. Do I want Jack Eichel? Yes. Does this franchise deserve and need a top-end center like Jack Eichel? Oh, it'd be amazing. But $10 million, guys, is a lot of money. And Jack Eichel has 5 years remaining at $10 million. It's a $50 million risk. Plus, if we made a trade tomorrow for Jack Eichel, when would he play for us? I mean, would it be February? Would it be next year? When would it be? That'd be a question I'd want to know. And then, you know, so you're going to throw $50 million out. Pay for the medical procedure too, because once you acquire him, you're on the hook for that. And then, you know, how long does it take to heal? Will he heal 100%? I don't know. Would this management group even allow the Flames to go out and take a $50 million risk? Huge risk financially. The reward would be huge too. It could be. It'd just be really interesting to see, you know, what behind doors is being said about that. So back to the original question. The biggest thing would be, I don't know the exact ruling on acquiring a player that is currently injured or unable to play or is on long-term IR. Does the cap space need to be available for you to acquire them? If that's the case, I have no idea. You couldn't do it in Calgary. That being said, if you could acquire him and just move the long-term IR onto our long-term IR, would we want? I don't know. That goes back to the $50 million risk. So what would I give? I would give Sean Monahan, which is 6.375. I would not want to give him, but we would have to because acquiring a center, plus that would give up the cap space, some of the cap space we would need to clear. I would maybe do the second round pick that we acquired from Florida. And I'd want like Eichel and a fourth rounder back. I'm not going to give up the farm for this guy. There's too much risk to be giving up the farm for him. I would love it. You know, tomorrow if I flipped on Fan 960 and they said, we got Jack Eichel, I'd probably be happy. Because what he could bring to this team might be what might be that Stanley Cup. I don't know. It'd be the optimism would be there for me. That's for sure. But I'd also be really, really afraid on what the hell did we have to give up to get him. Now, I think the asking price has got to be going down drastically. And I think people are, when this move happens, which I think it will have to happen, I'm not saying to Calgary, but I think this move is going to happen eventually. I think people are going to be a little bit surprised on what their return is. And I think people are going to be like, that's all it took to get Jack Eichel? Don't we do that on most trades? I don't know how many times there's been trades that I've been like, oh, we would have given that. I don't know. With his health situation, I don't think the return's going to be as big as people think. And I think when I say Sean Monahan and a second round pick, people are going to be like, well, there's no way in hell we're getting him with that. I'd probably agree with you, but you never know. I mean, are we willing to give up more than that? I think that would be a little bit risky to give up more than that. And yeah, I'd be happy to get Jack Eichel, but I am on the boat where we cannot give up the farm for Jack Eichel.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans. Not a ton of stuff to preview this week. We got one preseason game tomorrow night. Winnipeg comes to the Saddle Dome. That one will wrap up the preseason, a preseason that I've talked about, saying it feels like it's been going on forever and ever and ever. And then things get rolling, and we're going to have a long break before we get that season opener. That'll come on October 16th in Edmonton, a Hockey Night in Canada special Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun as the Flames open up the 2021-22 season. And then our home opener is Monday versus Anaheim at the Saddle Dome. And then Calgary goes on the road for five as we play in our first seven games. We have one at home. Ugh. Not a great schedule to start the year. Oof. Don't like that one. Other things we got going on here at Flames Unfiltered is the hot mic watch parties. We get that up and running just like last year. October 28th, the Flames play the Pittsburgh Penguins in Pittsburgh. That'll be the first watch party. What we do is, yeah, we all watch the game through the hot mic app together, chat Flames hockey. I give away some good Flames prizes, whether it's autographed pucks or hockey cards or all kinds of different things. And we have a little bit of fun with that. And we also have a big contest too, where we try to you guys can win some different prizes. And this year we got some really, really neat things planned. And yeah, look forward to that as we get the 28th draws closer and closer all the time. We're going to be doing about 10 of those throughout the season. Win some prizes, get some hockey cards, all those good things. It's always fun meeting new people on that. And last year we met a lot of great Flames fans. And we're excited to do it again this year. Well, another episode in the books, episode 100. It's been a lot of fun doing these. And I'm really excited for this year. Our plan is to do Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Mountain Time. We will alter the schedule based off if the Flames are playing. I'll post those on our Facebook and Twitter pages as we get the schedule details. Send in your questions. I always jump on the show. You can message me questions during the show, and I'll get them answered. Next week, it's going to be a down week as we wait for the season opener. Next show is going to be a good one. Next show, we're going to talk Pacific Division, give you my predictions. We'll talk Stanley Cup winner predictions, player predictions for the Flames, who I think is going to have good years, who I think is going to have bad years. It'll be a fun episode as we prepare for that season opener versus the Edmonton Oilers on October 16th. Always good when it's a hockey night in Canada. Thanks to all the listeners that join us each and every week. We truly appreciate us. Help us out. Follow us on social media at Flames Unfiltered. Subscribe on YouTube at Inside Edge Hockey Media Group. Get on over to flamesunfiltered.com for all the past episodes. Get on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good things. Thanks so much. Flames fans, enjoy the week off. We get ready for that big, big opener, Battle of Alberta, to start that season. Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.